now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. And on today's show, we've got a referee.
We talked to the lovely Lucy Clark, founder of Trans Radio UK, and the first trans football referee.
And some books.
Yep, Terry's here with your top 10, this time from Queerlit.
All that and more.
Today, right here on Shout Out.
Boom, boom, boom.
I knew you were going
to
do that.
I wanted to do it really dramatically. I'm going to do it operatically one week.
Opera style, yeah.
I'll do it when you're not here.
But you'll have to be tuned in. I don't know how you do that opera style unless you're an opera singer.
I'm worried about blowing the eardrums out.
Well, I know, I already said because you're old.
Here we go.
Sorry. I mean, I am joking, but I am glad I'm sat 1.5 metres away as well.
Because I can't see you.
It's not like you're any kind of spring chicken yourself, you know.
I'm 38 three quarters. I'm the youngest one.
You're so old, Ez.
But I do think I'm the second youngest. I'm not sure now. I don't know how long Danny H is.
No, I'm over 40.
Oh, he's over 40. Over 40. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, Andy's
Steph's
in the corner.
Steph's 50, so she's...
Plus a bit, yeah. Plus VAT, at least.
Which country?
Plus some ration stamps. We've started strong. How is everybody?
Well, good, apart from the blooming weather.
I know.
I had the central heating on today. It was so cold.
I had a dressing gown on over my jumper, and Steph came over and she went, "Are you cold?" I went, "Clearly."
But you're always cold.
I know.
I mean, we go to the pub after the show and we sit in the sunshine and you're there in like a
jumper
jacket
and a coat.
And duvet. And
a duvet. Can you imagine? I just whipped a sleeping bag out.
It's raining in some parts of Bristol.
Yeah, snug as the back of the rug. Look like a little queer caterpillar.
Now, very quickly, just going to mention, apologies if you're used to listening to us over on Ujima at the moment. We're not on the station over there. But you can still catch up with us on plenty of others. And, of course, we are podcast and available on all your podcasting platforms too.
And one of those platforms is Trans Radio UK.
We're going to speak to lovely Lucy Clark in a minute.
Tonight.
So I think I last saw her at the Shout Out Listeners was.
Excellent.
They were down, weren't they? Yeah. It was lovely they came. It was a long way to come.
It's a long way to come. Yeah.
And by the way, if you're involved in a community or student radio station or some kind of grassroots internet radio and you'd like to take Shout Out, get in touch with us.
Yes. Also, if you want to get involved with Shout Out,
indeed.
If you'd like to help find and submit content and do interviews, or if you want to help out behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
And it's quite a low bar to get to be young here.
Yeah. To be young, yes.
Harder to be 30, oldest.
38 and three quarters.
I was 33 when I started.
So Lara's the youngest, I think, technically.
Yeah, she's about 22, isn't she? No, I'm just kidding. About 25, 26. Yeah, she's younger. And then Ella's younger than me as well.
Yes. Ella is back for Pride.
I know.
For those of you that remember Ella, she's here. And she'll be in on that Thursday as well.
So
she'll be
duper.
Presenting on the Thursday with me.
And she's working for Marvel now, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's doing the whole zombie run thing. But the next incarnation is with the Marvel characters. So she's working very closely with Marvel on that. So you can be chased by the Hulk.
I would like to be chased by Thor.
I bet you would.
But literally.
So sadly, the actors playing the voices in the Marvel zombie run is not the original actors that you know in the film, I think.
But
we can ask Ella in a few weeks when she's here.
Yeah, it'd be great to
see. Not far off the Pride.
So. No, coming up fast now.
It's
anyway,
surreal.
Shall we get a bit of whistleblowing? I think this one was the lovely Steph did this. This is lovely Lucy Clark.
Lucy Clark. If you listen to Trans Radio UK, you'll know Lucy very well. She actually started the station. And there's some offshoots as well, isn't there, Lucy? You weren't content about just radio. You started a football team, a helpline, You're now the first trans football referee. Wow. Just first of all, let's talk about Trans Radio UK. What gave you the idea to start that station?
So I used to be a DJ. I did a radio station involved with football, probably about 2006, 2007. So I had actually previously set a radio station up. I was a DJ from probably the age of about 16, 17. Ended up doing sort of pubs and clubs and what have you not. I've always loved, you know, DJing, if you like. And I just felt that, well, there was a station out there for the community, which I contacted, and it wasn't there very, very long. And then it kind of just disappeared off the radar. As I say, it was only there for a very short period. And I was like, do you know what? I really feel that that our community needs a radio station that is for our community. And not only that, to give the trans and gender non-conforming people a chance that, you know, they maybe might not get because of, you know, where they fall on the spectrum with regards to LGBT and what have you not. So for me, it was, you know, I wanted to DJ and do a radio show again. There wasn't one out there. So I just thought, you know what, I'll set one up. I thought about it for quite a while, to be fair, sort of looked into it. And then 4 o'clock one morning in February 2018, I'd come home from work and I'd been looking through it and I thought, nah, let's do it. So, you know, at that point, Trans Radio was born and sort of been a work in progress ever since. Sort of 6 years later, here we are. And, you know, it's achieved what I wanted it to achieve, as in, you know, we're listened to all over the world and we have presenters from all over the world and we've given people an opportunity that they might not have got. I'm not saying they wouldn't, because we've got some absolutely brilliant presenters on there. And there are obviously people from the LGBT, specifically the T or non-binary people that are have radio shows on other radio stations now, which is brilliant. But, you know, I kind of felt that we've given a lot the opportunity to get themselves out there and do radio shows.
Hmm. Well, you say, I listen to Trut, and there's a lot of professional stuff on your output. It sounds really good. But it's one thing, Lucy, to start a radio station, but then what, did you get bored and think, right, okay, let's start a football team? Oh, hang on a minute. We need to do more for the trans community now. Let's start a helpline. How did those other two things start? How did you start the ball rolling on those?
Well, the helpline came because we thought about it. Whilst there's lots of amazing organisations out there that, you know, are helplines and are there to help people from the LGBT community. I didn't find, you know, from my research that there was a specific one that was sort of aimed solely at the transgender community. And we also found that we was getting a lot of people ringing up or contacting the radio station that needed help. Or needed, you know, not necessarily help, but just needed someone to talk to, someone to communicate with that was from our communities, you know, people maybe that had were just at the beginning of their journey, or, you know, just needed some help and advice, or, you know, wanted to find some stuff out. And it kind of felt that we was kind of doing that, but I wanted to, you know, if you're going to do that, you need to do it properly. So with that, I decided to set up Truck Listens. So people had a phone number that they could ring up and they could speak to somebody from our community that, you know, maybe be able to help them or just be that friendly ear. Sometimes people just need somebody to listen, or somebody just to, you know, they need to express themselves and maybe they haven't got somebody that they can express themselves to. And now there was a place where they could ring up and talk to someone from the community that would listen and understand as well. I think that's the thing as well. You know, lots of people, especially when they're at the beginning of their journey, if they're not talking to people that are from the community, might not understand, but they're suddenly talking to somebody that understands them or has been through what they, you know, they've been through or are currently going through. So that's how Truck Listeners was born. Truck United, again, years ago, I'd set up football teams. I think those that know me will know football has been a massive part of my life since like forever. And I came out as being transgender to the football world in 2018, or to the whole world, actually. But that was because I was a referee. And originally I was going to give up refereeing. That was the plan. Didn't think the football world would accept me. La da 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 da. Thankfully, as bizarre as it sounds, my body decided that, yeah, Lucy, have a few heart attacks. So I had some heart attacks. 2017. It was going to be my last season. I was in hospital over Christmas, which made me then sort of sit there and think, you know what? Why should I give up something I love just because of who I am? You get one life. So I decided to carry on refereeing, which was great and something that I'm really, really happy and pleased that I did. But not only that, then I was getting lots of people contacting me to say, that they wish that there was a football team for them and that they love that I've continued within football despite being transgender. You know, I wasn't going to let that stop me, and that they wish that there was a football team for them. They'd love to play football. You know, they felt that they stopped playing football because of who they are. La da 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 da. And it was like, do you know what? It broke my heart hearing all these stories from people that really wanted to play football or be involved. And was told that they couldn't. So I was like, all right, well, I'll set a team up. And in that way, nobody can ever say to me that there isn't a football team for me, because I will say, well, actually, there is. There's Truck United. And that was it. Yeah, Truck United were founded and formed. And again, have gone from strength to strength. We've had over 100 players represent Truck United. And we've played football matches all over the UK. I mean, just this weekend coming, we're down in Cardiff playing in a big tournament, and we're giving lots of people the opportunity to play football when many thought that they would never be able to play again.
That's absolutely incredible, Lucy. You've done so much. Now, the downside, of course, of putting your head so far above the parapet, in fact, I think you're stood on it, you've taken quite a hit, and J.K. Rowling got her barbs into you, didn't she?
Yeah, so getting back into the changing room with Truck United, I used to, again, from my, previous years, I used to be a football manager. And suddenly going from refereeing, which is something that I'd done for about 15, 16 years, to being back into the changing room environment and managing the team again, kind of gave me the desire to get back into managing in the football pyramid again, because it's something I've always enjoyed doing and something I'd kind of missed. And whilst I haven't completed refereeing as referee World Cup levels or whatever, I had a really good refereeing career. I was on the lookout to see if I could get a job back into football managing. And lo and behold, the perfect, if I could pick a job, it would be at the club that I supported, that literally were a stone's throw from where I was born. And I'd spent all my youth at this football club, and the manager's job became available there. I applied for it and lo and behold, went through all the process and got it, which was for me, obviously, totally and utterly amazing. Obviously, cue the hate. That followed from various individuals. You just mentioned one who decided to target me a few weeks ago, and obviously all the other usual suspects, Martina and Sharon, and to name but a few. All decided to target me and just give me loads of abuse, which, I put a tweet out this week, which you may have seen, and it was like, do you know what? There's been other clubs that have appointed, there's clubs that have appointed cisgendered men and have received no abuse whatsoever. And there's other clubs that have appointed cisgendered women and have not received any praise. Well, why are you not praising these clubs? Because you're quick enough to have a moan that they've appointed a trans woman, but why are you not praising these clubs for appointing a cisgendered woman? But then when I was appointed, yeah, there was literally, well, hundreds of thousands of hate messages, you know, lots that I'd received personally, of course. And obviously you look at certain tweets from people with big accounts, like you just mentioned, who have been, you know, retweeted literally hundreds of thousands of times, and along with all the hate that brings as well. But it is what it is, right? Living my life, and I'm still smiling.
And you are still smiling, Lucy, and the head turf herself, J.K. Rowling, is just eaten out with hate, and hate will never win. And history has proven that. And so she will go down with her ship. Sooner the better.
Yeah, hate will never win, and we will continue living our best life, and I will certainly continue living my best life and trying to show people from our community that you should still live your best life, still do what you want, still follow your dreams. And we get one life, so go live it. And actually, the reality of it is, in the real world, is that people are all right. People are cool. People, you know, when I meet people, they just want to chat and, you know, do a trans 101 and our stuff, and people are cool. Obviously, social media and the media itself can be a vile, horrible place. But yeah, just manage it and live your best life. Don't let anyone bring you down. That's for sure.
Mm. Like you say, Lucy, I think you made a good point there that most people, when you're trans, especially a trans woman, and you go out in the world, most things are fine. Restaurants, coffee shops, when you go on holiday. It's very rare that you have hatred in the street. It's just people hide behind a Twitter account. And, you know, I'm sure they say things they would never dream of saying to someone's face, because they were probably led horizontally within a few seconds.
Yeah. I mean, we've just come back from Turkey, had a most wonderful time, made some new friends. Everyone was absolutely brilliant. You know, I think the only issue I have is my face ID doesn't work on my phone when I've got my face on. Obviously set it up. that can be a bit annoying when I'm trying to use Apple Pay.
If that's all you got to moan about, Lucy, I think you're doing well.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I find people are great. You know, people want to come up and have a chat and say hi and you know, ask questions. And people have got questions, and I think they're sort of intrigued to, you know, to actually sit down and have a chat with you and educate themselves, because obviously lots of people do just read the hate that's on there, and yeah, some people can get actually, you know, getting, you know, embroiled into the hate that is being spouted.
Yeah,
and start believing everything that they read, when actually the actual truth is it's nothing like that.
Yep, indeed.
The way that these political parties are sort of trying to use us as battering rams, and you know that you've got all these gender critical people that are online that are just, you know, spouting all this hate against us, when actually, you know, people are cool and people are fine, you know.
I'm glad we've ended on a, because we've run right out of time, Lucy. I'm so sorry. We've ended on a high note, I think, Lucy, that, you know, people need to know, especially if you're just coming out and you're very, very nervous, that the world is not as hateful as you might think if all you've experienced is social media. It is a sewer, that place, and especially Elon Musk's Twitter, or X, as he likes to call it. And I think the work you're doing, Lucy, and the radio station, the helpline, the football club, you're normalizing trans lives, and you've been there for people. And more power to you, Lucy, and hope your future keeps on rising like a phoenix.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and lovely to speak to you, Steffi, as always.
Thank you so much, Lucy. We'll be right back.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Whiskey and wine. And the group's called Free. Pretty sure it's that way around. It's not called Free, and the group's Whiskey and Wine.
Whiskey and wine would be a good name for
you
a drink.
They don't mix.
That's
really.
Well,
if you put them in the same glass and drink it quick enough, it's all right.
That's a song being released for Pride in Ashford.
Oh, lovely. Pride in Ashford. Ashford down in Kent.
Yep.
Wonderful.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't think we broadcast quite that far, but.
Not yet.
Well, I think Medway goes out that far.
And Trans Radio UK does as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I mean, if you go online, we go everywhere.
We do, yes. In your pocket. We are everywhere.
In your pocket,
in your pocket. That sounded a bit creepy. Did not mean it.
It is a bit weird when you're listening back to Shout Out and your own voice comes out your pocket.
Yeah. I have listened back to the shows and my bit is the favourite bit for me.
Why does that not surprise me?
I mean, I
try
to be humble, but...
Let me guess.
I have to listen to Steph all the time. I want to listen to me.
Quiztree is the best feature there is.
Thank you for saying that. I mean, I felt it for a long time, but now I have. I was saying, somebody else agreeing with
me. I mean, to be fair, this is the least Steph show of all the shows she does.
Yeah.
Because there's more than just...
I've just been on chatting to Lucy for 15 minutes.
I know, don't
That's still
up.
More than all of you put together.
Right, Terry, let's really drag out the news.
We will. Cool. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The radical publishing house PM Press says that it is marking June as LGBTQI+ Pride Month with a sale of 40% of both queer and punk titles. Sorry, with 40% off both queer and punk titles.
That makes a bit more sense, doesn't it?
Thank you. The PM Press bookstore has numerous books, including one marking 40 years of the anarcho-punk band The Subhumans and Crisis and Care, which charts queer activist responses to a global pandemic, namely COVID-19, and charts courses for radical and inclusive care in the future. To see the full range of books on offer, including those in queer and punk sale, visit pmpress.org.
Live Science reports that a sexually transmitted form of the common fungal infection ringworm, more formally known as tinea, has been reported in the US, whereas previously it was known only in Europe and Asia. The infection can be treated with a combination of antifungal creams and applications, but is more likely than regular ringworm to leave scarring on the skin. Trichophyton mentagrophytes type 7 is the culprit. It is a variation on the more regular types of tinea, which can also cause illnesses such as athlete's foot and jock itch. Since patients are often reluctant to discuss genital problems, physicians need to directly ask about rashes around the groin and buttocks, especially for those who are sexually active, have recently travelled abroad, and report itchy areas elsewhere on the body, so said senior study author John Zampella, an associate professor of dermatology at the New York University Grossman School of Medicine.
The Independent newspaper reports that a federal judge on Tuesday struck down a 2023 Florida law that blocked gender-affirming care for trans minors and severely restricted such treatment for adults. Senior Judge Robert Hinkle said the state went too far when it barred transgender minors from being prescribed puberty blockers and hormonal treatments with their parents' permission. He also stopped the state from requiring that trans adults only receive treatment from a doctor and not from a registered nurse or other qualified medical practitioners. And he barred a ban on online treatment for trans adults. He said trans people are constitutionally entitled to the legitimate treatment they need and, quoting the late Reverend Martin Luther King, compared those who oppose it to those who are once against equality for minorities and women. Some transgender opponents invoke religion to support their position, just as some once invoked religion to support their racism or misogyny, Hinkle wrote in his 105-page decision. Transgender opponents are, of course, free to hold their beliefs, but they are not free to discriminate against transgender individuals just for being trans. In time, discrimination against trans individuals will diminish, just as racism and misogyny have diminished. To paraphrase a civil rights advocate from an earlier time, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. The government of Florida, which is dominated by ultra-conservative Republicans, say they will appeal the ruling.
The Pride edition of long-standing LGBTQIA+ magazine Fine Times, published in Oxfordshire, is available now. The magazine features a comprehensive What's On guide covering such gems as Julian Clary on his new national tour, Sophie Hagen at the Norwich Theatre Playhouse, and Classical Pride, which takes on the great tradition of Western music in the last 300 years. There's a guide to Pride events across the summer and early autumn months. Podcast host Susie McCabe is the cover feature, exploring lesbian identity and her show, which will come to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival late this summer. There's a film and art section, a season 3 of the podcast Talking Kinky, and a wellness section featuring some great looking retreats. There's more to explore as well. You can view Fine Times online for free at allthews.fine.co.uk.
And QX Magazine has launched its new website ahead of Pride celebrations. The London-based bar magazine has been published since the early 1990s, and the new website is lean, mobile-friendly, and has different subject areas such as what's on, searchable by day or week, queer theatre, club highlights, bar highlights, and drag cabaret scenes. You can find the new look website at the usual internet address, www.qxmagazine.com.
Muslims for Progressive Values have launched a new resource for therapists with the mental health profession on how to assist LGBTQIA+ people from a Muslim background. Afnan El-Grahabi is the author of the Mental Health Counselling of LGBTQIA+ Muslims Toolkit, which is out now. Afnan reports, "In my practice as a therapist, I noticed a significant disparity, an influx of Muslim and LGBTQ+ clients who were seeking someone who understood their faith and identity, but struggled to find a compatible therapist with adequate competencies. The gap highlighted the urgent need for resources and support tailored to their unique experiences." Joining Muslims for Progressive Values and its mission of advocacy, justice and compassion for all, including LGBTQIA+ Muslims, was a natural extension of my personal advocacy. Afnan went on, "I understood that preserving the integrity and dignity of every individual within family structures is vital, as each person contributes to the greater good of our society as a whole. The toolkit is free to all mental health professionals and other interested parties and can be downloaded from mpvusa.org.
Activists and political leaders of a wide variety of minority communities have paid tribute to the work of longtime ally of human rights in the United States, Mr. James Morris Lawson Jr., who was passed on at the age of 95. Wikipedia reports that Mr. Lawson was an American activist and university professor. He was a leading theoretician and tactician of nonviolence within the civil rights movement. During the 1960s, he served as a mentor to the Nashville Student Movement and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. He later served as a pastor in Los Angeles for 25 years. The CNCC Civil Rights Heritage page notes that while in prison as a conscientious objector to the Korean War, James Lawson wrote, "I'm an extreme radical, which means the potent possibility of future jails. My life will be rather exciting and will offer security only in the sense of service to God's kingdom." After his release from prison in 1953, Lawson travelled to India as a Methodist church missionary and studied the insistence on truth, the philosophical heart of Mahatma Gandhi's non-violent resistance to British colonialism. Sorry, I'll get there in the end. Mr. Lawson moved to LA in 1974, where he was pastor of Holland United Methodist Church. He retired in 1999, but continued his civil rights work. While in LA, he was active in the labor movement, the American Civil Liberties Union, and movements for reproductive choice and gay rights.
Rainbow Rebellion, which is the LGBTQIA+ action group within the wider Extinction Rebellion movement, say that a huge coalition of charities, wildlife, conservation and progressive organisations are coming together on Sunday the 22nd of June for a midsummer rally in London to help influence politicians to take better care of the environment. The ER press release says, "Restore Nature Now is a group of nature, wildlife and climate organisations and many public figures organising a family-friendly national demonstration on Saturday the 22nd. This is going to be a big event. We need lots of stewards and also lots of people to talk to each other on the march to help bring them to our next big action, which will be outreach. There are two most important priorities. If you can help or want more information, visit extinctionrebellion.uk.
And finally, Everywhere is Queer, a networking app which allows customers to buy goods and services from LGBTQI+ and small queer-friendly businesses, has published in its email bulletin the final instalment of just 300 of the many thousands of companies that they list to give subscribers a taste of what diverse goods are on offer. Among the final set of companies profiled is Identity Dental Care in Kentucky, an Oregon-based vegan burger and fair trade coffee shack that supports sex workers and non-profit-based initiatives, a bookstore and aromatherapy massage. These are just a handful of the many companies and businesses listed on this superb app. So to find out more and browse what might be in your area, visit www.everywhereisqueer.com.
Well, it's been another busy week for LGBTQI plus politics and culture. Do be sure to keep up to date with community media for all your LGBTQI plus information through the week. And also, why not visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ezra Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's all you two are a bit loud. There we go. That's Stumbling In.
Did you say I'm too
by
loud?
By Cyril. Yeah, no, I had still had your volume set for when you do the news. See, when you read the news seriously, you actually talk quieter, so I have to turn you up a bit. And then when you're just like open mic, you shout and scream and oi and all sorts.
Sorry, Stephanie's playing Dodgers.
Dodger?
What's wrong with
Dodgem.
You tonight?
Dodgems. Don't worry, you can
your
do
mouth's
the news
not
next
working,
week.
Is it?
Yeah, you never have that problem, do you? Just rolls right off the tongue.
What are you two playing?
She was whacking me with her chair.
Oh.
She wants to get into the microphone, I think, to do the wonderful list of books.
Yeah, but you've got your own mic. You don't need
to. She's just abusive.
Andy
no,
space.
She's just abusive.
Oh, right. Oh, I see.
I'm just kidding. She isn't.
Oh, I see. You two are going to share and give Andy a mic. Yeah. Right. Hello,
something
Andy.
Like that.
Come say
like
hello.
Hello, everyone.
Essential hello. Community radio experience. Andy's actually on his knees on the floor at the moment.
In the prayer position.
In order to read the list. They don't have this problem on Good Morning Britain, I'm sure.
It's absolutely fine, mate. I'm sure it's not the first time he's been on his knees.
Right, okay. Quite often where IT people end up doing these crawling around on the desk.
Very true.
Terry, tell us about this, because this is different provider this time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, our usual book review partner, News From Nowhere up in Liverpool, can't provide us a summer reading list just yet. So we've compiled one from the recommended reads over at Queer Lit, the LGBTQIA plus bookstore in Manchester. Queer Lit is now Europe's largest LGBTQ plus bookstore and part of a network of radical, progressive and LGBT plus businesses across the UK. You can find them online at allthews.queerlit.co.uk. And these are just a selection of the titles that the shop recommends for your super sizzling summer reading when you're on the beach.
Cool.
Speedos.
Who's going to kick off at number 10?
I'll start, shall I?
Yeah.
Number 10. A Trans Man Walks Into a Gay Bar by Harry Nicholas. After his relationship with his girlfriend of 5 years ended, Harry realised he was a single adult for the first time. Not only that, but a single transmasculine and newly out gay man. Despite knowing it was the right decision, the reality of his new situation was terrifying. How could he be a gay man when he was still learning what it was to be a man? Would the gay community embrace him or reject him? What would gay sex be like? And most importantly, would finding love again be possible? In this raw, intimate and flinchingly honest book, we follow Harry as he navigates the sometimes fraught and contradictory worlds of contemporary gay culture as a trans gay man. From Grindr, dating in gay bars, to sauna, sex, and ultimately falling in love. This brave and uplifting journey will show you there is joy to finding who you are.
That sounds incredible.
Lots of tongue twisters in everything we're reading
tonight. Do you reckon I can get through one thing now without stumbling over my tongue?
No.
Okay, should we try?
Are you going to do number 9?
Yeah,
then?
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
What can you do about it? No, just kidding. Number 9, Pretended, Schools and Section 28 by Catherine Lee. Pretended is a vivid historical, political and cultural account of schools and teaching under Section 28, a law that banned schools in the UK from promoting homosexuality as a pretended family relationship. Catherine Lee was a teacher in schools for each of the 15 years that Section 28 was law. Between 1988 and 2003, in Pretended, she considers the landscape for lesbian and gay teachers leading up to, during and after Section 28. Drawing on her diary entries from the Section 28 era, Lee poignantly recalls the challenges and incidents affecting her and thousands of other teachers during this period of state-sanctioned homophobia. She reveals how these diaries led to her involvement in the 2022 feature film Blue Jean, and describes how this unexpected opportunity helped her to make peace with Section 28. Pretended will resonate with every lesbian and gay teacher who experienced Section 28 and will shock those who previously knew nothing about this law.
And it is surprising how many, especially the younger generations, have not heard of Section 28. And the effect it had. Because, of course, the first thing that happened when they were saying about changing all the laws on trans things, we were like, oh, here we go again. It's another Section 28 type thing, didn't we? And I had so many people... So many people go, what's Section 28? But for those of you listening, it was a law that basically banned the promotion of homosexuality in school. You just weren't allowed to mention it at all.
Legally, it was a nonsense. No one was ever prosecuted under Section 28. Lots of teachers defied it.
But don't say gay. I mean,
it was equivalent to that. It was equivalent to a don't say gay law that the Florida government has tried to introduce. It was repealed, I'm pleased to say, in July 2003 with very little opposition.
Right, as we got no proper back in at the sign of the hanging symbol, Terry, if I start off, you do the back in.
Do the back in music,
please. Yeah. Right, number 8.
probably got it up on the show from a previous one. I'll have a look. You carry on.
Okay. Transitional by Munro Burgdorf. A wise, life-changing, groundbreaking book from writer and activist Munro Burgdorf. Transitioning is an alignment of the invisible and the physical. It is truth rising to the surface. It is one of the most fundamental aspects of the human condition, a part of our experience as a conscious being, no matter who you are. As time goes on, we all develop as people. None of us ever becomes someone else entirely, regardless of how we identify. But nor do we stay the same forever. We all transition. It's what binds us, not what separates us. In Transitional, activist and writer Munro Burgdorf draws on her own experience and theory from key experts, change makers and activists to reveal just how deeply ingrained transitioning is in the human experience. This book, to help bring us closer to shared consciousness, a powerful guide to how our differences can be harnessed as a tool to heal, build community, and construct a better society.
Right. Sounds brilliant, that does.
Here you go.
Oh, the music. Q Yo. And H with number 7.
I was going to say, it's very difficult to speak over this piece of music, so I've actually done it a few times. It's
Come on,
difficult.
Pop pickers, get move on.
Right, this is You Have the Power by Lee Williamson. Join Lee Williamson, captain of the England's women's football team, as she knows. She shows you that you can be a leader at any age, and that huge things can happen when you believe in yourself. In the summer of 2022, Lee led the Lionesses to victory in the European Championships. Now she wants to show you that you can achieve anything you want. If you put it into your mind for a goal for life. So both on the pitch and off the pitch, no matter what other people say, this positive guide to life will inspire you to lead like a pro and motivate yourself to do what you love. Lee also owns life with tons of brilliant advice and shows girls how they can find their strength, empowerment and follow their dreams.
And at number 6, Jamie L.D. Lipinski, a beautiful uplifting story from L.D. Lipinski, author of The Strangest World's Travel Agency, about how to make your own place when the world doesn't think you fit anywhere. For fans of Me, My Dad and The End of the Rainbow, Jamie Rembo is a happy 11-year-old non-binary kid who likes nothing better than hang out with their two best friends, Daisy and Ash. But when the trio find out their year 7 will be separated into one school for boys and another for girls, their relationship suddenly seems at risk. And when Jamie realises not one has thought about where they are going to go, they decide to take the matters into their own hands, sort it out once and for all. As friends, the efforts to raise awareness eventually becomes a rooftop protest against binary rules for local schools. Jamie realises that if they don't figure out a way forward,
they might be at risk of losing both their friends forever.
Number five, then. Arthur and Teddy Are Coming Out by Ryan Love. The feel-good read for 2023, perfect for fans of Mike Gale, Beth O'Leary and Alice Osman's Heartstopper. When 79-year-old Arthur Edwards gathers his family together to share some important news, no one is prepared for the bombshell he drops. He's gay. I don't know why that'd be a bombshell these days. And after a lifetime in the closet, he's finally ready to come out. I suppose that is a bit more of a bombshell when you're that age, are you? Arthur's 21-year-old grandson, Teddy, has a secret of his own. He's also gay and developing serious feelings for his colleague, Ben. But Teddy doesn't feel ready to come out yet, especially when Arthur's announcement causes shockwaves in the family. Arthur and Teddy have always been close and now must navigate first love's heartbreak and finding their place in the community. But can they and their family learn to accept who they truly are? Readers are loving Arthur and Teddy. Too often, queer literature is enjoyed only by the LGBT plus community, but this novel is ready to be loved by the masses. I'd love to have read something like this when I was younger and finding myself. Arthur and Teddy's relationship was the definitive highlight of the story, the way in which they leaned on each other for support and just felt new and fresh were several quotes about the book.
Okay, now we're well into the top five now. At number four, Straight Expectations, a novel by Callum McSwiggan. This is the debut novel from the author, presenter and advocate Callum McSwiggan, who you may have seen on YouTube. He's quite a famous influencer. 17-year-old Max has always been out proud and just a little spoiled. Frustrated by the lack of romantic options in his small town high school, during an argument with his lifelong best friend Dean, Max lashes out and says he wishes he'd never been born gay. Max gets more than he bargained for when he wakes up to find his wishes come true. Not only have his feelings for boys vanished, but so has Dean. With his school life turned upside down and his relationship with his family in tatters, Max sets out on a journey of rediscovery to find a way back to the life he took for granted and the romance he thought he'd never have. This is a deliciously romantic young adult debut novel that's What If It's Us and One Last Stop.
How inventive. Looking forward to that. Number three, We Can Be Heroes, A Survivor's Story by Paul Burston. One man's journey from prejudice to pride, Paul Burston wasn't always the iconic voice of LGBTQ plus London that he is today. Paul came out in the mid-1980s when gay still felt like a dirty word, especially in the small Welsh town where he grew up. He moved to London hoping for a happier life, only to watch in horror as his newfound community was decimated by AIDS. But even in the depths of his grief, Paul vowed never to stop fighting back on behalf of his young friends whose lives were cut tragically short. It's a promise he's kept to this day. As an activist, he stormed the House of Commons during the debate over the age of consent. As a journalist, he spoke up for the rights of the community at a time of tabloid homophobia and legal inequality. As a novelist, he founded the groundbreaking Polaro Prize, but his lifestyle hid a dark secret, and Paul's demons, shame, trauma, grief stalked him on every corner. In an attempt to silence them, he began to self-medicate. From almost drowning at 18 to a near-fatal overdose at 38, this is Paul's story of what happened in the 20 years between and how he carved out a life that his teenage self could scarcely have imagined. Emotional but often witty, We Could Be Heroes is an illuminating memoir of the 80s, 90s and noughties from a gay man who only just survived them.
There you go, down to number two then.
And at number two, Unsuitable, A History of Lesbian Fashion, Eleanor Medhurst. The way we dress can show or hide who we are, make us fit in, make us stand out, or make our own community. Yet lesbian fashion has been strangely overlooked. What secrets it can reveal about lives and status of queer women through the ages. The lesbian past is slippery, often deliberately hidden, edited, or left unrecorded. Unsuitable restores to history the dazzling varied clothes worn by women who love women, from top hats to violet tiaras. This story spans centuries and countries, from Gentleman Jack in the 19th century Yorkshire and Queen Christina of 17th century Sweden to Paris modernism, genderqueer Berlin, butch femme bar culture and gay rights activists via drag kings, Vogue editors and Harlem Renaissance. This book is a kaleidoscope of the margins and the mainstream, celebrating trans lesbian style, black lesbian style, and gender nonconformity. You don't have to be queer or fashionable to be enthralled by this hidden history. Unsuitable lights it up for the world to see. It
In all its finery.
Whoa.
I swear you got slower, the boy who read that.
She just likes to drag it out so we can listen to it.
And at number one, Andy.
It is number one. Suffolk Histories by Leila J. Rump, A Global History of Love Between Women. Following the ancient poet Sappho to tomboys and the contemporary Indonesia women through the throughout history around the globe have desired, loved, and had sex with each other and other women. Sorry, that doesn't sound quite right. In beautiful prose, Sappho Histories tells their stories, capturing the multitude of ways that diverse cultures have shaped female same-sex sexuality across time and place. Leila J. Rump reveals how from the time of the early societies that the possibilities of love between two women have been best known, and even when it's feared, ignored or denied. We hear that women that have been in sex-segregated spaces of convents, harems, whispering words of love. We see women beginning to find each other on the streets of London and Amsterdam and the aristocratic circles of Paris and the factories of Shanghai. We also find women's desire and love for women's meeting in the light of Japanese schoolgirls falling in love. Lesbian bars and clubs spread across 1920s Berlin to 1950s Buffalo. And we encounter a world of difference in the 21st century as the transnational concept and lesbian identities meet under global understandings of how two women might love each other, giving voice to words from the mouths of pens of women and from men's prohibitions, reports, literature, art, imaging, pornography and court cases. Rupp also creatively employs fiction to imagine possibilities when there are no historical evidence.
Okay, once more, thank you to Queer Lit in Manchester for those book reviews. And remember, do support your local independent, queer, LGBTQIA+, and feminist bookstores for your reading pleasure. They are knowledgeable, friendly, and a place to be yourself.
So there's a lot of lovely books in there.
There's which one did, ones. Stood out to you, Andy?
Me? Well, I've always taken quite an history, an interest in the whole Section 28 thing. I think that'd be one of the ones I'd really quite like to read and find out, because that was from a teacher's perspective, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And to teach
all the way through that as an LGBT person as well must have been pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah. And of course my experience was on the other side. I was a pupil. Trying to come to terms with being gay and seeing other guys who were coming out as gay being bullied and the teachers doing nothing about it from a homosexual point of view. They obviously dealt with the bullying, but it was never mentioned the reason why and the like. So it'd be quite interesting to hear, I think, the other side of that.
Yeah, indeed.
Absolutely. Indeed. I think Straight Expectations is an incredible concept.
I love the name.
And also, what was the other one about Pride and Prejudice? Teddy? No, yes, that one I really want to read. But there was one, oh gosh, Terry, I've put every page in a different place. But there was one about Pride and Prejudice, and now I can't find it, but it sounded absolutely brilliant.
That was a fashion, wasn't it?
I don't know now. It could be about anything.
Paul Burston's book, I would be very interested in reading, a sort of memoir of those tumultuous 20 years between 18 and 38. And you know, his mental health struggles that he went through and dealing with grief and loss and so on during the difficult 1980s.
Yeah. And you see, I never used to like history when I was younger. You know, especially at school. I mean, partly because it was all about the Tudors and
our history could not be more boring. The way that it's taught, not our actual history, but the way that it was taught in the 70s, 80s, just dreadful.
It was 80s, 90s for me. I'm not quite that old.
No, you're right. 80s, 90s for me.
Yeah.
I was trying to include you, but I forgot.
I'm glad you're far enough apart.
Yeah, Tudors, kings and queens.
Yeah, and the Crusades. And I was just, you know. Yeah. Whereas if you actually dive into some of our history, there's some fascinating things. You know, I mean, stories like of the people like the Pink Triangles, which was the people at the concentration camps who were badged with a pink triangle to mark that they were gay, and all the others were liberated, and the pink triangles were taken and put in jail for being gay. You know, so we talk about the whole liberation of
they were never free, but there were others as well.
The German government apologised formally in 1995.
Oh, did they?
For the past persecution by the dreadful, you know, different regime, the Nazi regime, which persecuted a lot of different people. on a lot of different grounds. Very sad.
Yeah.
But important to know.
Yeah, but that's my point. I mean, it's history, you know. It's really good to absolutely kind of know about. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's it for another week. We said it at the top of the show as well, but we are looking for more people to get involved with Shoutouts. If you would like to get involved and volunteer, it can be on air or off air, do give us a shout. You can find out more on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we've got Mysterious Ways.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Is that Steph's Mysterious Way?
I haven't got a clue. I don't. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
Well, from myself, from Terry, from Ez, from Steph, from Andy, from Tara, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.